Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Though you see no water for miles around you, you are, like me, nonetheless maroon. We are castaways in this terrible bad dream somebody decided to name Barovia. To switch up the metaphor, we are imprisoned, and the fog is the bars of our cell, and our jailer is Baron von Strahd. As far as I can tell, there's no way to escape other than possibly by dying. Maybe by being eaten by a wolf, let's say.
Let's pop out Emmanuel.
Maybe I look to Esmeralda as I pop out mine and maybe point to it.
She shakes her head. That does not sound like anything I've ever heard of.
How do we get up?
There's no response.
Just talking to it. Okay.
Gorob and Lushund, who were yelling significantly louder than you, cup their mouth again and call out, "How do we get up there?"
The platform. Boom.
Ask them if they are the doctor.
Are you he? The doctor!
Both of them kind of realize at the same time.
Dr. Rudolf von Richten!
We're doing an awful lot of yelling in a wizard's old tower.
There's no response this time.
I assume some kind of supernatural predator above.
Esmeralda reaches into the crate that she's just opened and pulls out some supplies. Yeah. It is full of food, basic supplies and whatnot. Clearly, this is Rudolf's, some of his equipment. He has been here.
Mm. Well, whoever that is, I mean, you said it's supernatural, but this is an anti-magic sort. Well,
that's not going to stop all of them, I say. Your horse is still here.
Is the entryway big enough for a horse, or am I tying up my... Well, I don't even tie my horse. I'm like, horse, stay
it's
there.
It's a human-sized door, so probably not.
Okay, horse can stay. Orion, she knows what she's doing.
How recently do you think von Richten was here?
Esmeralda puts a finger onto one of the crates, runs it along the crate, and then brings it up, and you can see that there is a little bit of dust on her finger. Yeah. He has not been here for a little while.
A few of us head up,
I suppose, I say, but I'm nervous of...
I suppose. Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Esmeralda steps onto the platform.
I also step onto the platform.
All right.
Perhaps...
As soon as
you would want to stay down
there, as soon as both of you are standing on the platform, the clay statues come to life. They turn and look at Esmeralda and you, Hector, kind of expectantly, like they're waiting for something.
Would anybody else want to?
A Gogash steps on up.
Anybody else want to come up with us?
At the word up, the golems begin pulling on the chain and. You begin raising up into the tower. Pip, are you coming with?
Yeah. At the last second, I'll step onto the tower.
All right, you step on, maybe as it's becoming more of a step.
Yeah.
Piran, standing still near the doorway, calls out, I'll stay with the horse, make sure it's fine.
Yes, you do that.
So it's just him and the two dwarves.
Oh, sorry, no, they would come with as well. Gorob and Lushan are definitely coming
with. Okay, cool.
You get up to the second floor. The floor is littered with books, all of them weather-worn. In an alcove, you can see the bust of a middle-aged man, which is really the only thing of note otherwise in this room. Everything else has been looted. You can see, even though it has been so long, you can see the places where things like furniture and other things would have once been. But they have long since been presumably looted.
Have I ever seen Strahd's wizard in, like, illustration or whatever?
No.
Okay.
You just know of him.
Cool. Does it stop at this stop?
It does, yeah.
I want to point to the boss, because like he's written his name outside the tower.
It's probably
just like, what a point. Does he look like a wizard? You know what a wizard.
Yeah, pointy hat, big beard.
You know,
no, it just looks like a regular
bald man.
Kind just kind of looks like a regular guy. Okay. He would be wearing maybe a suit-like equivalent, although obviously it's just the bust.
Point to be like, is that Strahd or is that the wizard?
It's not Strahd.
I'm not Strahd or a wizard.
Okay, I thought that.
The bus turns and talks to you.
That was going to be my next suggestion.
Hello, he says. Pleasure to meet you, please. I've not seen anyone in some time.
Nice to meet you.
Hello. Yes.
I guess we'll step off on this floor.
The floor creaks.
Oh, that's right.
A little
it's
bit underneath you. Yeah, it's a little bit unstable, but it seems to be holding your weight for now. A Gogash chooses not to step onto this floor.
Yeah. Here, Gogash and the twins.
And Gorblush and approach the bust with ripping
wild
speed.
Abandon. Yeah.
Where is he?
They pick up the bust and begin shaking it. Where is he?
It's not.
Could you please stop that? I want to. Reaching over them.
Yeah.
I want to just maybe just gently just take the bust and like put it some. Is there like a higher place that they can't reach?
No. You're taller than them. Just hold it up.
Sorry.
It's okay.
That is okay.
This is not the worst reaction I've ever had.
I want to look around as I'm holding it above my head. Is there anywhere to put it down, or is it where they were?
Pretty much.
I just keep holding it then.
Okay.
If the twins have stopped pouring at it.
Well, the twins, as soon as you snap it out of their grasp, they stop.
So we're looking for a friend of ours, their friend.
Esmeralda speaks up. Have you seen a man by the name of Dr. Rudolf van Richten? The bust nods. Yes, he was here a little while ago. It's hard to keep track of time.
Do you have a name?
No one's ever given me a name.
Oh, too bad.
Mm.
Would you like a name?
Sure.
He would also give you a name.
I wouldn't know the convention.
Do you like anything in particular?
He thinks for a moment. Chaucer, he says. I like Chaucer.
Why didn't we call you Chaucer?
Perfect choice.
You look around and you see one of the books that is not open. It's sitting closed. The author of that book is just Chaucer.
Yep.
Is that the only word you've been reading for?
No, I read what I can. He, with his head, kind of gestures around. But it's limited.
Well, yes, you're just a bust.
How did you come to be this way?
I was given life by the arch-wizard Exathander. He was lonely, I suppose, and needed someone to speak to. So he created me, but he was a largely mean and vain man. He didn't really, I suppose, when I say he wanted someone to speak to, he wanted someone to talk at.
Yes, someone to listen, sure.
Yes, he left. Oh, I've not seen him in a long time. But then that doctor, he was here for a little while, but he seemed otherwise preoccupied.
Did he say where he was heading to?
Yes, the bust says.
In that manner?
Yes.
Is the bust lying to us, Adam?
Yes. Come on now.
Look, I assume
it is. He's withholding, obviously. Yeah. Like, when he says yes, he clearly makes a point of not elaborating.
Where was that?
Now, I haven't a back to scratch.
Would you like?
Well, it's terribly lonely up in this tower, and I have so little to read. I would perhaps appreciate, I am aware that there is not too far from here a town by the name of Valakai. Have you been?
Not yet. We were, I have not been, but I think, Pip, have you been to Valakai?
Yes.
Well, would they appreciate, perhaps, and would they look after, perhaps, a poet, he says.
I think of sad and dour Valakai. Yeah, yes, I suppose they would.
Well, that's a lie. Okay, says Chaucer.
I'm sure they'd love a poet who could cheer the people up or entertain them with I like look desperately at everyone else. His poetry.
Antics.
All right. I see. That well, is it? Yes.
Stop lying. Well, what did you want me to say? They'd hate you, to be honest.
Do you know a place here within Borovia that would appreciate someone of my talent?
I might. I know exactly the kind of person who would love to have somebody to talk to at all times.
Who are you thinking of?
Pop. I want to annoy my chicken. Just put him in the chicken pen next to Pop. Pop will be annoyed. He'll be annoyed.
I don't think I like this person. What is your name?
You've never met that person. Oh, me.
Yes.
Pip, I say.
I don't like Pip. I will not deal with him anymore.
I'd throw up my hands.
Right, sorry, Chaucer. Right, look, I've never been to Velikai, but if that is what you would...
I want to be taken somewhere where people will appreciate my abilities.
How about this? We will take you with us.
He's not that heavy, right?
It's a stone bust. It's not light, but... Well,
wagon.
Actually, no, it's not stone. It's some probably plaster. Okay. So, yeah, it's not that it's heavy. It's just that it's a bit big and cumbersome.
Oh, yes, exactly what we need. Another loud guy.
I can be as quiet as a dormouse. Esmeralda shakes her head like she doesn't believe him.
Yeah.
But she quietly, Pip, whispers to you, worst case scenario, we smash him.
But just put him down.
Yes. But I think if he knows where Dr. Rudolf Heinrich, I mean, who else knows right now where he could be?
Yeah. I suppose.
How about this, Chaucer? Look, we're heading to Velikai, and from there I do not know where. But you're more than welcome to accompany us. And if you find somewhere where you would like to stay, we will leave you there.
Yes, this seems agreeable with me.
Because you met Van Richten, and I'm assuming this court wizard, Exathander. You probably have information about him. You know
I know of Exathander, correct.
Right, and he was the a court wizard of...
Strahd. Right,
and do you know anything about that particular...
Strahd or Exathander?
Both, actually.
Well, I know a few things. I've been around for some time. I don't know exactly how long, but I know that I've been around long enough to have existed before this, he says.
This being Borovia?
The mists around Borovia, back when Borovia was on the mortal plane.
Oh, right, well.
I predate that, however long that is.
Right, so you...
Esmeralda's jaw hits the floor, metaphorically.
Mm. Oh, so,
she's not dead.
Well, just keeps going. It's like, oh my God, she's a snake woman.
Did I, as Pip, know that there was a period of time where Borovia was beyond... Was,
no, that isn't beyond your
maybe
knowledge.
Maybe trying to, obviously... You know, keep my affectation of being disinterested, but I'm still now very much listening in.
So you must have heard of or knew the Morning Lord, right?
I did not know. I knew of him, but Exathander was my only talking companion, and he had no interest in the Morning Lord.
Of course.
Anything I heard second or third hand, perhaps.
And apart from, I guess, was there anybody else in the tower that you have?
No, Exathander was the only one to dwell within this place.
And then Rudolf.
And then Rudolf, briefly and a lot more recently than Exathander.
What's on the third floor? There is a third floor, yeah.
There are two more floors to this place. The floor above us is largely uninteresting, to my knowledge. It was not long after Exathander's disappearance, passing, I'm not sure, whatever happened to him. But after Exathander left, it was not long before a great bolt of lightning struck this tower and made a hole, a floor above us. Through the floor, looters came.
Oh.
They took anything not nailed down. They were not able to loot the top floor due to the guardian of the top floor. There is an enchanted suit of armor up there, which at a certain command word will back down from a fight.
Well, we don't need to go to the third story.
The fourth
story, excuse me. We can just skip down.
Do you know the command word?
I did. Oh, I do. I told Dr. Van Richten. He did most of his studying up there.
Ah.
Esmeralda looks really, really excited at that.
You want to? I turn
in
around.
He made of this land are in that floor.
You want to go up there? What was the?
And also a planetarium is up the top.
Oh,
Exathander, before Borovia was plunged to the place it is now, was a, what do you call it? A studier of the stars.
Astrology?
Astrologist, yes. But when the mists came, it obscured the night sky, and he became melancholic. He created the planetarium to keep himself busy, I suppose.
Well, do you know the... could you go faster, or would you like to come with?
No, I do not want to come with.
It's made of plaster.
Yes, if something were to happen.
Something were to happen.
The word... is anamatum.
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 It's good to know. Thanks for being so forthcoming with it.
Well, we have an understanding, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I say nothing. I hate this head.
Know that the command word will only stop the armor from attacking you. It will not leave or obey your commands.
Yeah,
that word is simply to progress safely.
Do you know any of the other words?
No, there are no other words. It obeys direct orders from Exathander, but, I know little of his current whereabouts. The last I heard of Exathander was that he had made his way to the Amber Temple, somewhere to the south of here. It is a place of learning, but dark, evil learning. From that place... He went once before he went his last time. He learned how to become a lich there. He was, I assume, successful, but I have not seen him since his second journey there.
I look back to the gang. Mostly to Pip, really, and probably Esmeralda. Oh, no, because she's nice.
Esmeralda looks really thoughtful. Like, she's scratching her chin. Something about the name, the Amber Temple, seems to be jogging something in her memory.
Amber Temple. Has any of you heard of the Amber Temple before?
Everyone?
I look at, the ones that have been here before.
Yeah.
Because Esmeralda had been here a little bit longer than us, yes?
No, Esmeralda got here about the same time as you did.
Okay. then, yeah. Pip, have you heard of this Amber Temple before?
Not exactly, I say. Why is my deception so bad?
You immediately are aware that you stumbled your way through that.
There was a book in Krezak. It might have mentioned it.
In Krezak?
Yes.
Oh,
you can't see Esmeralda, but you feel her presence behind you.
I didn't think it relevant.
What did it say?
It spoke of it as being, what the head said, more or less.
A place of evil, dark, arcane learning.
Yes.
Oh, and did it simply said anything else?
Esmeralda, behind you. her voice sounds like water slowly freezing to ice. So, it mentioned just that there was a place of dark learning and nothing further.
It might have possibly also mentioned Strahd in passing.
So what was it something like Strahd also became a lich?
Relevant to his power, I suppose.
So the books, the library we were at...
That library was the best attempt of Saint Markovia to defeat Strahd. And it just in passing mentions the Amber Temple?
It's been a while, I say.
It has been less than 2 days.
She seemed to think it important in defeating Strahd. That's it. That's all of it.
Pip, I understand that you are going through it. And I understand that
but sure.
You feel responsible for a few things that have happened in the past. But please, if you ever come across some pertinent information, maybe share it with the group. Thank you, Chaucer, for the password. Esmeralda, would you like to join me upstairs in Van Richten's study?
Agogash, as you walk back, looks to each of you and he steps off. He says, I will stay here.
Probably for the best.
Gorob, Lushan, look at Esmeralda and with not much in the way of
not subtlety, tact. If Dr. Van Richten is not here, we will wait with the tiefling. And they call out, oh, wait, well, they, no, they'll step off and they will wait for when you're done with the elevator and then they're going to take it down.
It's like, we'll go up one level, we'll send it down a level.
Yeah.
They'll get on, they'll go down.
Yeah.
This fox will eat my lettuce.
You work out that you can just state the floor that you want to go to as well, and that similarly works. You head up to the fourth floor, the top. Unlike the levels below, this room shows recent signs of habitation, and although the place reeks of mold and mildew, it has plenty of creature comforts, including a cozy bed, a desk with matching chair, bright tapestries, and a large iron stove with plenty of wood to feed it. Light enters through arrow slits as well as through dirt-caked windows with broken shutters. Other features of the room include a standing suit of armor and a wooden chest. Old wooden rafters bend under the weight of the tower roof, which has somehow remained intact. Mounted to the rafters are the pulleys around which the iron chains hang that support the elevator platform. Also, looking up, you can see the... It's kind of like... Imagine you're in like a post-apocalyptic video game and you walk into a planetarium and there's a flickering light on the ceiling of the stars above, but it's kind of like warped and a bit broken and stuff like that. It's kind of the same equivalent. There are holes in the roof, in the rafters. Not the roof is still watertight for the most part, but there is clear destruction, just warping and stuff of the roof. And wherever that warping and destruction is, the stars above are broken and missing. While it is still a pretty sight, you can see it is clearly in need of some repairs. Also, as soon as the elevator stops, that suit of armor starts walking towards you. There's no menace to its... Well, there is menace to its move. It's clearly a purposeful stride.
Animate him.
It stops and then walks back into place.
Animate him. Right, shall we?
You search this top floor, you find there are two sets of notes in around the desk and all of the equipment and stuff like that. You can see that there's one set of notes that just look ancient. They must be Exathanders. A lot of them are written in this really spidery, scrawly handwriting that it's difficult to decipher simply because it is really hard to read. There is another also very... very pretty and scribbly sort of writing, which is clearly Dr. Van Richten's, but it is significantly easier to read. Exathander's notes, as far as you can tell, appear to be mostly just notations of the celestial bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think there's necessarily anything interesting here, though there is a lot to comb through. Dr. Van Richten's writings are immediately way more interesting. He has quite clearly been to all of Barovia, all of the different cities, and he has made detailed notes on all of them. In addition, you shift some of the equipment around, and you can see that there is like a cork board on one of the walls with different, clearly drawings that Van Richten has done, and they are all like connected in different ways. The most dominant drawing in the dead center of the cork board is of a elven man. He wears incredibly fine and exquisitely tailored clothing. He has kind of like a beautiful white blousy shirt with a red cravat and a deep red vest, over which he wears a black greatcoat, which has a hood incorporated into it. And when it hangs naturally, you can see it almost looks like bat wings. The man's face, while handsome, is cruel. The drawing looks like it is about to animate and give you a curse or a spell upon you.
I'm assuming that is not a self-portrait. That would be Strahd, yes?
I would assume this to be Strahd, Esmeralda says. And you can see just a slight hint of pointed teeth within that evil grin.
Huh.
I'm downstairs, yeah?
Mm.
Oh, did you not come up? You
with
the Gogash?
No. All right,
no worries.
We're in a fight.
immediately spiraling off from that, there are several other drawings. They are of another older elf. This elf has, it looks almost like a drow, but their skin complexion is significantly lighter than that of a drow.
Okay.
And you can see that they have a haughty, kind of also cruel-like face. He is also dressed really nicely, but Hector, you are accustomed. You lived a blessed life, possibly within the capital of Candor, Hydale. Mm-hmm. You know well enough what a servant of someone wealthy looks like. This man, while he is dressed well, he is quite clearly not someone in charge. He is the servant of someone in charge. There is a name scrolled beneath this picture, this sketching. Mm-hmm. It says Rahadin.
I guess this Rahadin is the servant of, well, I would assume, Strahd.
There's another one that spins off, and you see four women dressed in a sultry manner. There is like a menace to them as well. It's kind of like a almost like a spider-like menace, where looking at them gives you a sense that you are not so much meant to view this as like a scene of four pretty women, but as a scene of like four sirens luring you to your death. All of them, you can see, their clothing is fashioned in a manner similar to Strahd's, in that it hangs off them like they were bat-like wings.
Like, I guess the puppet shows back in Ognot.
Yeah.
when we were discussing, you know, we'd watch our favorite vampires, like, you know, puppetry shows. Would there ever be like a kind of a through line of maybe like, oh, and remember the brides of, you know, of Dracula, for example? Was that ever something that we would have come across?
There is a little note, like where it says Rahadin. This one says Strahd's four.
Rahadin. Okay.
Strahd's four brides, and then name unknown in brackets.
Okay.
So another one stretches off to a well-dressed woman. She looks like she's dressed similarly to Strahd in a fashion where it looks, it's got like a bat-like motif, but this woman has more of a elderly, stern matron sort of appearance. The name written beneath this is Lady Vatcher with a W. Vatcher, but with a W.
Lady Vatcher, but spelt Watcher?
Yeah, spelt Watcher, but with a, it would be pronounced Vatcher.
Well, we wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
Ah, Lady Watcher.
Vatcher.
Ah.
This would be pronounced, she points out maybe an accent as part of the W.
I see.
She points out and says, it would be pronounced Lady Vatcher.
And she's like, so it's a line from, is it, all these lines are from Strahd, yeah?
Yep, they're all connected to Strahd.
Okay.
From Lady Vatcher and from Strahd, two lines connect to one final drawing. This man is of middle age. He's got long, wispy hair. He's kind of doing a bit of a riffraff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But he's also got a long, white goatee to match. One of his eyes is badly scarred, and it's kind of his eyelid is drooped. But the other eye looks as if there's a, as if it can see everything.
Mm.
This man has, in his hands, he has a baton, which he appears to be holding in a, like he was about, like he was swinging it, slapping his other hand, and he means to approach and then,
like he's about to give us a bit of a caution, a bit of a questioning.
Yeah.
On his left breast pocket blazes a little badge that says Sheriff. And this one says Sheriff of Kutchery.
Have we been to, do you know of a Kutchery?
Esmeralda shakes her head. I do not know of the town.
I guess a question to ask Pip. Do we need to go back for that book?
Which book?
The book that...
Oh, in the library. Perhaps, yes, it would be clever.
Well,
on the bright side, I do not think that book is going anywhere. We can probably complete our mission to Valakai and turn back when we need.
It is something. I guess this is the information that Van Richten has gathered.
Oh, I'm so sorry. There's also one more drawing. There's a rough drawing of Barovia. It's a very rough drawing, though, so a lot of these areas are only vaguely marked. It's as best as he can do. So you can see on the map, places that are marked are the village of Barovia, Castle Ravenloft. You can see all the forests and rivers, Mount Gacchus to the north, to the south, sorry, Mount Gacchus. In nestled up in Mount Gacchus, you can see a little notation for the town of Kutchery. Right next to it is also a notation for Amber Temple. Then also there's the Wizard of Wines. You can see not a lot of interest has been paid to that one. It looks like that was just noted because he knew where it was. Then Yester Hill, similarly, just like he knew the name and so he put it on the map. You see Kresik. You can see the Werewolf Den has also been marked. And obviously Valakai, and then also the tower that you were in currently, mm-hmm. which is labeled as home.
Interesting. Well, I'm guessing that he has gone to Kuchiri.
Esmeralda nods. It is unlikely that he discovered the Amber Temple and did not learn of its potential importance.
Is Valakai on it? On is it Valakai and then the Amber Temple, or do we pass there?
The Amber. Well, you could just start heading south if you wanted to, but the Amber Temple would require backtracking, and it's a long way away as well. It's even by horse, it will take a week at least to get there.
Okay, well. Valakai was a day's ride, yes?
Valakai is only about a day away, yeah.
Well, we could always... What was in Valakai again?
It was just the next obvious stop. I do not think we were looking for anything specific there.
Right.
Sort of the vibe was Pip just kind of wanted to dump you off.
yes, I would say that our guide wanted to complete his end of the contract and then leave.
Well, I guess we could still go to Valakai, see what is there.
Do not tell Gorob and Lushan, but I would like to perhaps complete the trip to Valakai, maybe. Well, I'm not 100% sure, actually. Where would you like to go next?
Yes, I'm thinking if we can go to Valakai, perhaps see if there's any supplies there that we can grab. We did get a decent amount of coin from the werewolf den. Perhaps I can at least get a gesture to my body. Leather armor, to be perfectly frank, would be nice.
True. It would be clever for you to arm up, as it were.
And, well, we will see what is there. I know Pip mentioned there was a tavern there that was, I guess, allied against Strahd.
That would be a clever place to stop then as well.
So maybe we'll see what there is.
It is a lot closer to get to Valakai. Look, I... Not that there is a local language to speak, but I am aware of the local language, as it were. I can get by a lot better than anyone else in this party as a local.
Yes.
I would say perhaps now would be a good time to split our party. I would perhaps take maybe Piran. While he cannot hide among a population as well as others, he is certainly stealthier than others, and perhaps he would be of use. I don't know what we would do about Gorob Lushan. Gorob Lushan would want to come with me to the Amber Temple and to Kuchiri to meet Dr. Van Richten, but they are loud. But do you want to take them to Valakai?
I shake my head. No.
Well, see, here we are at an impasse, because I don't want them either.
Yes, we could always get them to stay here. There is enough supplies.
I suppose we could, yes.
There's enough supplies here, and if we just tell them that maybe Van Richten is coming back, they might stay here for a long time.
It is very mean to lie to them, but I have done worse things.
Well, Van Richten will be back maybe eventually.
But is it we're not abandoning them.
Come to think of it, actually, it would... Van Richten definitely does stay here, so actually it's not stupid to keep someone here.
If you go to the Amber Temple and... you know, Van Richten is not there, then at least someone is here to, and they will be very loud about...
They will.
At least alerting Van Richten of their... So why don't we do that? Why don't you and Piran go and you scout out the Amber Temple and this town of Kuchiri, while I take Agogash and Pip, and we go to Valakai.
All right.
And see what we can do there, and we will meet you at Kuchiri.
Very well. I will... Go ahead. I will gather what information I can.
Yes, that would be
I will try to make contact with Dr. Van Richten. I will take Piran. You will take Pip and Agogash. And Gorob Lushan will wait here on the off chance
on
that
the
Dr.
Very
Van Richten.
High chance that Van Richten will return.
Yes.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right. A plan is set in motion.
Good. How long, what in terms of time, in terms of travel time, like what do we say? Like, all right, we'll do this and this. Give us like X many days in Valakai and then we'll come by. Like, what are we sort of planning it?
Well, Esmeralda gives it a bit of a think. Well, it's going to take quite a while without a horse for me to get there.
Yes, of course.
Unless you are willing to give me the horse.
Can I give you the horse?
Outside of a mile, you lose your telepathic bond. Mm. So, like, the horse still is intelligent and whatnot.
Mm.
But Esmeralda's not going to be able to... Oh, no, it can understand Esmeralda, but it can't speak to Esmeralda. And it won't be able to speak to you either, but it will still exist.
You and Piran can grab, can take Orion, and hopefully, I guess we could leave the cart here.
Mm.
And then, if we can manage to acquire... transport in Valakai would be very useful.
Yes, Valakai from the... She gestures to the map. It looks like Valakai is a significantly... Actually, she doesn't gesture at the map. She, like, looks over Van Richten's notes.
Mm.
Valakai is the largest city. Well, current... Oh. She covers up a note, thinks about it for a sec, and then turns to show you. And Van Richten's notes write about how Barovia, the city, used to be... the biggest, but in his notes, Van Richten's only been here, been in Barovia for about 6 months at the point that he made this note. And he states that the city of Barovia was once the largest city in the region of Barovia. Now, Valakai is the largest city, population-wise.
Right. What happened to the city of Barovia?
It was decimated, destroyed in a uprising.
About a year ago?
About a year ago. The population slaughtered, culled, if you will.
I may be understanding some of Pip's reservations, I guess.
Well, we will speak.
Why don't we bunk here for the night?
We will bunk here for the night.
Tell the rest of the group. Perhaps it is wise to get Pip up here for some of. I just want to look at the notes that Van Richten.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
I will read through the notes over the night. Well, Van Richten tends to write in code, and I can...
Oh, right.
I know his code.
Oh, well, in that case, that would be useful.
She sits down, and you realize right now that while she was not lying, she had a hidden motive of she now doesn't have to interact with Pip, and you do.
Thumbs up. Right, well, see you in the morning.
All right, Pip, you're on the second floor with Agogash, who is standing for the first time since you've met him. He doesn't seem to want to say anything. Mm-hmm. And you can see he's quite purposely not looking at you.
I have my arms
have
folded.
Have I missed something?
I mean, it's a lot to explain, Chaucer.
Very well. Well, could you do me a great favor? That book over there, can you turn the page? I've been reading that page for, I can only assume, years.
Yeah, yes, I suppose I could.
Thank you, I greatly
appreciate
it. I
squat down, take the page, and turn it over.
How long have you been in Barovia?
3 years, give or take.
That seems like a while, but I'm given to understand that I've been here for longer. May we go outside?
Honestly, I would love that. I take the head and I'll step back onto the platform.
All right.
Down.
Do you step like outside onto the island?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say I would step outside. What I'm going to do is I step outside, I drop the head just in the like marsh or whatever. Then I'll pull out my fiddle and just tunelessly play some music.
All right. So are you doing this on the island or are you going across the
No, not across the causeway. I'm staying fuck no. I'm just staying on the island.
In the distance.
It's just tents in there.
In the distance, on the little island, on the little stone island with the little stone tower, the front door opens. And in the distance, it's hard to make out, but it is a dragonborn, steps out carrying a bust. If your eyes were good enough, and they are, you would spot that the bust turns and talks to the dragonborn, who sets it down, ignoring it completely, takes out a fiddle, and you hear a tune that you've heard hundreds of times before. Pip plays maybe the same four or five songs on repeat, as those are presumably the only ones he knows.
Yeah.
Boris turns.
Can I give you the song that he's playing?
Sure.
I'll sing the lyrics. This is a song I've just had in my head that I think Pip plays all the time since the beginning. It goes, "My lover, he is a sailor man, but his heart belongs to the sea. For after his ship at a soft, steady clip, he's got no love left for me. He's got no love left for me." And Pip just plays that on repeat.
That echoes across the still, silent lake. Boris gestures with his face, and several of the direst wolves
been tracking me. They've been fucking tracking me.
You've got direst wolves. We've also got druids, maybe tracking me.
Why is everyone?
I don't know.
Well, I was gonna be like, why is everyone in Barovia coming for us? It's Barovia.
Several of the direst wolves turn and follow Boris. The entire pack has been on your heels since you left Krezik.
Oh my god.
Spluttering and choking can be heard through the forest. It's faint enough that you cannot hear it on the island, but where Boris and his companions are, it can be heard. Two direst wolves drag out from the bushes a sodden druid.
Oh, no.
The druid is deposited heavily at Boris's paws, shall we say?
They sent the druids.
The druid looks up at Boris.
Are they teaming up?
The druid looks up at Boris and growls, "You and me, we serve the same master." Boris looks down at the druid. Boris has always looked down at the druids. While they serve their quotation marks god, Strahd, the lord of the forest, you, Boris, are Strahd's right hand. For them, this is a religion. For you, this is merely business.
Oh my god.
The druid's bumbling frustrates you to no end. And while the heart of their power lies near your territory, you are unable to oppose them directly. But here, you can rest easy knowing that what is about to happen here is not going to reach the ears of Keshgar. Keshgar is an annoyance, but Strahd sees him as a useful annoyance. And you, while Strahd does not technically encourage infighting among his minions, Strahd does not look down on it either. And so you relish this opportunity. The druid, still looking up at you, "As we serve Strahd, we must work together." Boris speaks.
What?
Kill. The pack tears the druid apart.
What?
You watch with glee.
What the fuck? What?
Pip.
How does he talk with that?
How long
lips?
Would you like to play your fiddle?
I play it until like I hear movement and sound cease inside and assume everybody's going to bed.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then I will... scoop the bust, which I imagine is just like sunk into the...
Well, it's stone, so there's no sound in here.
Yeah. Then I pick up the bust and I will take it back inside and go to bed amongst everyone else.
Hector, would you have sought Pip out?
That's a doozy. It would have been gone around, told everyone what was going on, as in like, well, we've got the notes and this is what we're doing and really, really ham up the importance, just the absolute importance. This is like almost
Esmeralda
like
backs
the,
you up.
One of the top missions.
You get advantage on this role for Esmeralda backing you up.
For Gorob and Lushan to stay here. Like, it... Ooh.
I know Dr. Van Richten very well, and he... Esmeralda, you could see, stops for a moment, and Hector, you can see her in her mind think about the dust and not mention it. I know he frequents this place, or he would frequent this place a lot. Yeah, Gorob, Lushan nod. They seem to heartily agree that staying here and waiting for Dr. Van Richten is the smartest course of action.
Excellent.
They'll hold down the fort for you.
Excellent. And yes, well, who takes the bust?
Well, you promised we'd take it to Valakai.
Yeah, I did.
You maybe think to yourself, who takes the bust? And Esmeralda immediately puts her finger on her nose.
It's going to be so much harder now without a
Gorob
horse.
Gorob and Lushan putting fingers on each other's noses.
Gorob and Lushan start wrestling.
Oh, that's going to be harder without a horse.
Great. Can't wait to carry this bust for 3 days.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Fuck, yeah. You've got a Gogash. He can pull the cart.
But a Gogash, yes, he can pull the cart. That is good. You tell a Gogash that it'll be quicker with Perrin and on Orion. Do you mind pulling the cart? You're so very strong.
A Gogash nods. I will pull the cart, of course. If you cannot, I shall.
As the strongest member of this group.
Oh, Gogash puts up a hand. No. Gorob and Lushan and yourself, you are fair fighters, he says.
Oh, thank you. I'm so sorry. I meant both in terms of physical and emotional strength. Gogash.
Of course, nothing could compare to Orcish strength. It would be unfair for you to compare yourself to me.
Yes, it would.
He says that, but without. Yeah. He says it with all earnestness.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like he doesn't realize what he's saying.
Oh, I know. I'm using that maybe very much to my advantage.
All right.
If you could pull the card, that'd be great.
Well, you don't really need to trick him. Like, a Gogash isn't a mean person.
Oh, I know. I'm not trying to trick him. It's just more the. You know, lean sure. into
it's
that
a buttering.
Ego. You know what I mean? Yeah, You know, it's a bit of honey. You know?
Yeah.
If that's decided, Pip, when you re-enter, the bottom floor is empty. No, it's not empty. Esmeralda is there smoking a pipe, and she has one boot on a simple chest.
As I come in, like, I'm like, oh, I'm shocked to see Esmeralda. Everyone is sleeping upstairs.
Yes, everyone will be sleeping upstairs.
I've got the bust in my hands. He liked the music. He's not heard music in a long time. Not that unceremonious.
Yeah, you put the bust down.
I mimed like I just yeeted it into a corner.
Chaucer understands that there is a weight in this room, and he's pretending to be a regular bust right now.
I just put him down.
Esmeralda picks up the chest, walks over to you, and then puts it in your arms firmly. Like she kind of shoves it into your chest. It is full of some hunter equipment. I couldn't help but notice that you are lacking in some materials. I assumed this would be helpful for you.
Materials are, hard to acquire here in Barovia. Not all of them, but some. I put it on the ground and open it up.
Inside, you find 20 silver bolts.
Ooh!
A heavy-looking crossbow, which you don't need. You can tell there's nothing special about it, so you don't need to take that. 5 cloves of garlic, which you're not actually sure will be helpful.
Yeah, no worries.
But nice for, food.
Yeah, it's
cooking.
Good.
I mean, maybe we had that. We had that when we made soup.
That would have been incredible with the soup.
Actually, you know what? Maybe you genuinely recognize this as just important for food tasting, which is actually Barovia is very bland when it comes to
maybe
food.
Pips are like the first thing, like I open it up and I pull out the bolts and I'm like, what? Silver. And then I put the garlic.
I would actually genuinely, something that you would know about the Wizards of Wines, the reason why everyone loves the Wizards of Wines, the reason beyond just alcohol helping to numb the horror that is the daily life of a Barovian, but the Wizards of Wines are genuinely very flavorful wines, which is actually so fucking rare in these parts.
I bring the only drink with flavor.
I bring the garlic up to my nose and like inhale to try and just get a big whiff of that garlic flavor.
It's beautifully, deliciously garlicky.
You would think there'd be more garlic in Barovia, to be honest.
Inside the chest, you also find 3 doses of devil horn, 4 doses of hounding killer hands.
Oh, cool.
5 doses of treant poison, a dose of blight skin, 5 doses of, let's say, dragon's blood.
Oh my god.
And a diamond.
Have you, maybe I close the lid. Have you taken...
It is all for you. I am as stocked up as I wish to be.
I appreciate it.
The plan going forward will be I will take Orion, the horse, and Piran. We will go south to a city called Kuchari. There, it is nestled just before the Amber Temple. Piran and I will do some investigation and search for Dr. Van Richten.
I hope you understand. I hope...
I understand perfectly, she says. Up. She goes up. You stay on the bottom floor.
That's fine.
You spot, for the first time, now that you've walked into the proper angle, you spot that there is a single dirty bedroll next to one of the crates.
I have my own bedroll, so it's not much nicer, but still. I roll it down and look at the bust in the corner.
He doesn't move, but hang on. So he does... Look, it's hard for me to describe this, so I'm going to get the two of you to describe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He does this, like keeping his head very still, he does this.
It's kind of like a brief look out the corner of his eye, and then a sort of, not quite a swallowing motion, but it's like a...
Like a nervous tick you might do with your mouth to be like, I hope he does, maybe he forgot and just assumed I was an actual bust. Because I don't want to talk right.
Kind of like if a bust could try and retreat into itself.
Yeah.
A bust doing his best to run away despite having only a neck and chest.
Yeah.
I suppose it's just you and I down here.
Yes. That was intense.
It's like, I'm awfully tired. I'm going to go to sleep now.
I don't actually sleep. but I will be quiet.
Okay. No comment on you, but I might turn you around.
I understand completely.
Is there like a place I could put him so he can at least look out a window?
Not on the bottom floor. Maybe actually as you're moving... going to move him, he says, can you leave me outside, just on the front porch where the horse is?
Oh, okay, I say. I open the door, put him down. Good night. Yeah, good night. Then I close the door.
Maybe as you're falling asleep, you can hear him chatting to the horse.
Oh,
that's nice.
Every now and then you hear...
They've worked out a complicated system of stomps already.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, friendless, I go to sleep.
How early would any one of you wake up? Naturally speaking, obviously, you haven't an alarm clock.
Yeah.
It could only be the sun or your own body clock awakening
you.
I
feel like Pip's body clock has gotten fucked over the years.
You lived in a pretty dangerous place.
Yeah, so I'm probably up pretty early.
You would then be, I would say you can hear people upstairs rummaging around.
Oh, okay.
You could tell someone else is up, just not who.
I just get up in my bedroll to be warm or whatever, sit up and eat a strawberry for breakfast. Out of my dwindling supply.
A filling breakfast of one strawberry.
I gotta ration them out. I guess it's a strawberry and then like hard tack or whatever my rations are.
Yeah.
It's for flavor.
Mm.
Sure.
Let's see, because we're in the tower, we storm on most nights. I feel like an early riser, but like, again, if it's all gloomy, because I'd imagine...
Yeah, you're not getting hit by direct sunlight.
Yeah. I think I'm probably like, somewhat early.
Yeah.
All right. Well, probably not earlier than Esmeralda, who would be the...
Crack of dawn?
Beyond that, would be the first person up. Mm. Esmeralda is just... quietly pouring over some of Van Richten's notes. She's got like a candle set beside her, which as she turns around and spots that you're waking up, she leans over and blows it out.
You went to sleep, right? You haven't been up all night?
Esmeralda just doesn't respond. She turns back to her work.
Okay.
Right. I kind of sleepily rub my eye as I'm doing now.
Right. I will see if there's anything. The crates had food, right? I'll see if there's anything food-wise for us.
You start opening crates. There's no crates up here, but there is stuff that you can look through to.
Head on the elevator. Yeah. Down!
All right. Pip, you hear as the machine slowly, the elevator slowly trundles downwards. Hector, as you're heading down, you see Lushan turns around. Gorob is fast asleep, but Lushan turns around and he says, "I would come with you." And he tries to shift, but Gorob is not waking up.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm already.
I must waken him.
It's already going down.
You're well out of sight before Gorob, if he ever does awaken. Another thing you would spot is a Gogash is also getting up. As you were getting up, a Gogash also got up. Mm. And you can see that in a little space on his own in the top floor, he has laid out the set of chess, dragon chess, and he is considering his move.
Yep. No worries. You mentioned that. I will go and see if we can cook something up.
A Gogash in deep thought and does not really say anything, but Lushan attempts to hail you down, but unsuccessfully.
Oh, it's such a sad disappointment.
Oh, too bad. Oh, boo-hoo.
Hector, you reach the bottom. Pip, you see this, obviously.
I'm probably wrapping up my bedroll at this point.
Sure.
I should check on Chaucer.
open the door. It has rained. Chaucer does not seem in any the worse for wear, though. He turns around and, he doesn't turn around, but he cranes his head as best as he can, and he says, "Hello! With pleasure to, not make your, good morning!"
You can't mind the rain, can you?
Orion has kind of huddled up right against the building, obviously, to protect themselves from
your
the
magic
rain.
Horse is wet, and then I'll, Chaucer and take him inside.
Yes. Thank you, Pip. Right. I was going to look for any food in do you mind doing that? I will go deal with
it. Yeah, I'll go check if there's food in the barrels. That's fine.
All right.
Have a nice
sleep.
It was comfortable enough.
I said that as I walk out the door, sort of thing.
Chaucer.
It was more of a.
It was a dig, really.
No, it's a rhetoric question.
Chaucer cannot impose himself in an awkward position, but he looks as awkward as a bust.
Chaucer's just coughing.
Just on the sideline of the weird dynamics of this party.
It's very funny.
Poor guy. All right, I'll check the barrels for food or anything.
You spot one of the crates is just filled, packed, heavy with supplies.
Mm hmm.
Whereas, Hector, you step outside and you can see Orion has huddled herself up against the building in an attempt to stay out of the rain.
Right, how are you? You're going okay?
I am fine, thank you.
Right, do you need anything for shelter? I can try and see if there's a bit of a tarp. We can, at least for the morning, you can be under cover.
I would appreciate this, thank you.
No worries. I go in and see if there's any kind of cloth or whatever that was wrapped over or something that I can kind of just at least make a makeshift lean to.
I like to think I'm muttering. I've got Chaucer sitting on one of the crates and I take stuff out. I'm like, how magic a horse can be if it can still get wet? What's the point of that?
Where did the horse come from, may I ask?
I don't know. You magicked it out of nowhere.
That sounds pretty magical to me.
Well, yes, but why can it still feel the cold? Why not just... Yes, I don't know. If I fired a magic arrow, what if it missed? Oh, yes. Let's go with that.
Oh. How's the horse?
Cold.
Here's I lay out the food. What kind of rations have I found? Is it just hard tack? Is it
you find Grugrog branded rations? There's a little on the packaging.
Grugrog's worst.
On the packaging, there's a little it's Grugrog's. Grugrog's finest delicatessens, and then underneath, the little slogan says, "Keeps forever, alcohol." Most of the rations here absolutely stink of booze. Mm. You can see that most of it is in some way pickled or preserved in alcohol. You think consuming this may cause you to become drunk.
I found a sort of semi-liquid breakfast.
Right.
It is food. It's just infused with alcohol.
If you've got anything that's not alcoholic, I'd recommend eating that first. But if not, I guess this will do.
Yes, yeah. We still got some food from Krezik. So at least it's new to find a little bit. Maybe when Gorgash is down, I can see if I can help him hunt for some deer or elk or something.
Yes, I'm sure he'd be excellent at that. You would have no trouble finding something to eat. I've no doubt.
Chaucer looks from one of you to the other. Could you be a great friend? I think I saw something out that window, he says. Please turn me towards it.
Well, I'll take you outside. We can look at it
out
there.
That would be nice too, he says.
Yes, well. Do I find anything I can use?
Yeah, the foods, the Grugrog's finest foods that have been laid out on the floor are themselves on a top.
Right. Well, I grab the top and maybe, sure. Is there a bit of spare wood or something that I can use as well?
Yeah, you find
like some stuff.
In one of the crates, you see that there is equipment for like camping, so tent sort of. Ah. Actually, yeah, you don't even need the tarpaulin, you just find tents.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll grab that. I can take Chaunce out.
Oh, okay. I'll go see if everyone else wants breakfast, I suppose. I'll go stand on the elevator. Up. Breakfast is ready. It's alcoholic.
Esmeralda does not turn to look at you. Yeah. Lushan, with one arm, is dragging himself over to the elevator.
I'll be there presently, he says.
How heavy a sleeper.
Gorob is snoring. Anyone could hear it inside the entire tower. You could hear it all night. Gorob snores like a machine gun fires.
Oh, my God.
And probably his expulsion of the as part of the that feels like it has the force of a machine gun. You see little motes of dust getting kicked up wherever he purrs.
God.
A Gorgash finally leans over the dragon chess set, picks up a pawn, moves it, and then after just a brief moment begins packing up the dragon chess set. By the time a Gorgash is done, Lushan has dragged himself and Gorob onto the platform. Esmeralda stands up, tucks some papers underneath her arm, and silently walks over onto the platform.
Cool.
With all of you there, you head back down. In about that amount of time, Hector, you obviously don't need to set up like a proper tent for Orion, and there's no need for that simply because you're not going to be
Orion's going to be leaving.
You'll be leaving soon. So you do just set up kind of like a lean-to so that Orion has a bit of shade. Orion bows before you and gratefully says, thank you.
Oh, no worries. I'm sorry I didn't do that last night.
Her lack of response is very funny.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. Not going on.
I'm sorry too.
Do you need to eat anything?
She shakes her head.
Well, we're going to have a quick breakfast, and so you'll be heading off to, I think it's the Amber Temple with Esmeralda and Piran.
She nods. She has, as much of a horse can, she has kind of a slightly apprehensive expression, but she nods.
I stop and think, where is Piran?
You haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Good question.
Huh. Right, I'll be out momentarily. I get back into the tower.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, fellow adventurer. If you're picking up what we're putting down and want more D&D content, we have just what you need to scratch that itch. D&D is for Nerds Plus, the symbol, not the word, where you can listen to select campaigns that were once only available to SansPants Plus members. The further adventures of the Grey Hill Free Company if you want shorter campaigns with beautiful guests, and D&D is for Nerds, not Ognot, where all our non-canon D&D adventures go to rest. Just search for D&D is for Nerds on your favorite podcast app of choice and join us on this epic quest of D&D podcast discovery.